Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today I will summarize and review the book, Mathematics for Finance. An Introduction to Financial Engineering by Marek Kapiski and Tomasz Dostaniuk is an undergraduate textbook in mathematical finance, published in the Springer Undergraduate Mathematics Series. Its purpose is to introduce the mathematical foundations behind modern financial engineering without assuming advanced graduate preparation. The book builds from models of bonds and stocks toward three central areas of the field: arbitrage, pricing of derivatives, portfolio selection, and asset pricing, and the term structure of interest rates. It is written for readers who already know basic calculus and probability, but it does not treat finance as a purely computational subject. Instead, it connects financial concepts such as risk, return, discounting, and hedging to precise mathematical reasoning. The result is a compact introduction that explains how abstract models can be used to understand option prices, investment decisions, and interest rate behavior in markets. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, know arbitrage reasoning as the foundation of derivative valuation. A central theme of the book is that derivative prices can be studied through the principle of know arbitrage. Rather than beginning with empirical forecasting or investor opinion, the text shows how the absence of riskless profit opportunities imposes mathematical restrictions on prices. This is important because many derivatives do not have an obvious value in isolation. Their value depends on how they can be replicated or hedged using more basic assets such as stocks and bonds. By modeling these assets and examining trading strategies, the book introduces the idea that a derivative price can be determined by constructing a portfolio with the same payoff. The reasoning is conceptually powerful because it separates pricing from prediction. A model need not claim to know the future path of a stock. It must specify enough structure to compare payoffs across states and rule out inconsistent prices. This framework also explains why discounting, probability, and hedging are not separate techniques but parts of one valuation argument. Secondly, Black-Scholes pricing is a continuous time extension of hedging logic. The treatment of Black-Scholes pricing is one of the major components of the book and represents a bridge from introductory probability to the mathematics of financial engineering. The Black-Scholes model is presented not simply as a formula for option prices, but as an application of arbitrage logic in a continuous time setting. The book develops the economic idea that an option can be hedged by dynamically adjusting positions in the underlying asset and the risk-free asset. This leads to the insight that the option price is constrained by the cost of maintaining a replicating strategy. For undergraduate readers, the value of this presentation is that it clarifies why volatility, time to maturity, interest rates, and strike price matter in a structured way. It also shows the limits of naive intuition about options. An option is not priced only by expected payoff. It is priced through the interaction between uncertainty and hedging. This makes Black-Scholes a model of market consistency as much as a pricing tool. Thirdly, portfolio optimization and the trade-off between expected return and risk. The book gives substantial attention to Markowitz portfolio theory, where investment choice is analyzed through expected return, variance, covariance, and diversification. This part of the text shifts from pricing individual securities to selecting combinations of risky assets. The key mathematical insight is that portfolio risk is not merely the weighted average of individual asset risks. Correlation between asset returns matters, which means that combining assets can reduce total risk without necessarily reducing expected return in the same proportion. The Efficient Frontier formalizes this trade-off by identifying portfolios that offer the best expected return for a given level of variance, or the lowest variance for a given expected return. This framework gives students a precise language for understanding diversification. It also introduces the limitations of modeling investment decisions through mean and variance alone. The approach is clean and mathematically tractable, but it depends on assumptions about return distributions, parameter estimates, and investor preferences. The book presents these ideas as foundational rather than as a complete description of actual investment behavior. Fourthly, KPM is a model connecting individual assets to market risk. The capital asset pricing model is used in the book to connect portfolio theory with equilibrium asset pricing. After introducing the logic of efficient portfolios, the text moves toward the question of how expected returns should relate to risk when investors can choose among many assets. KPM distinguishes between diversifiable risk and systematic risk. The central idea is that investors should not be rewarded for risks that can be eliminated through diversification, but they may require compensation for exposure to broad market movements. This leads to the role of beta as a measure of sensitivity to market risk. The importance of CAPM in the book is not that it perfectly describes all markets, but that it provides a mathematically coherent link between portfolio choice and expected return. It gives students a disciplined way to think about why two assets with similar volatility may command different expected returns if their relationships to the market differ. The model also illustrates how strong assumptions can produce elegant conclusions while requiring careful interpretation. Lastly, interest rates and term structure as models of time-dependent value. The book also introduces interest rates and their term structure, extending financial modeling beyond stocks and options into fixed income markets. This area is essential because many financial calculations depend on how value changes across time. A single interest rate is often too simple for realistic analysis, since borrowing and lending over different maturities may involve different rates. The term structure describes this maturity-dependent pattern and is central to valuing bonds, forward contracts, swaps, and other interest-sensitive instruments. The text explains how discount factors, spot rates, and forward rates are related, giving students tools for moving between cash flows at different dates. This material reinforces a broader point of the book. Financial engineering is largely about translating future uncertain or dated payoffs into present values under a consistent model. Interest rate modeling also shows that even instruments often seen as safer than equities require mathematical care. Bond prices can move significantly with rate changes, and the shape of the yield curve carries information relevant to valuation and risk management. In conclusion, this book is best suited to undergraduate students in mathematics, finance, economics, actuarial science, or related quantitative fields who want a structured first course in mathematical finance. It is also useful for self-study by readers who know basic calculus and probability and want to understand the mathematical logic behind derivative pricing, portfolio construction, KPM, and interest rate modeling. Its practical benefit is that it gives readers a common toolkit used throughout quantitative finance, no arbitrage arguments, replication, discounting, risk-return analysis, and term structure relationships. Its intellectual benefit is that it shows how financial concepts become precise when expressed through models, assumptions, and logical constraints. Compared with many finance textbooks, it is more mathematically disciplined and less focused on institutional description. Compared with advanced quantitative finance books, it is more accessible and deliberately introductory. What makes it stand out is this balance. It does not reduce financial engineering to formula memorization, but it also avoids overwhelming beginners with excessive abstraction. The book is strongest for readers who want to see how rigorous undergraduate mathematics can be applied to core problems in modern markets. It is less appropriate for those seeking trading strategies, empirical market history, or software-heavy implementation. Within its category, it remains a concise and reliable bridge between elementary mathematics and more advanced study in financial engineering. If you would like to support Marek Kapiski, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.